Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow. Oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh. Culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool.
Wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling.
Wow, you guys. Before we get going, we just have to do some housekeeping.
I went through the change. It's Matt.
It's Matt.
Hi.
Matt got vocal surge.
To make it deeper.
To make it.
And it's me.
Oh my God.
Oh my God, shut up.
Good morning.
Oh my God. So Matt just through an emergency had to fly out to LA last minute. So he's on a plane right now. So filling in for him, we have our good friend of the show, the host of Fresh Batch, the former judge of Cold War, my friend, my Floridian queen,
oh
Michelle
my God.
Collins.
Mrs. 305.
Mrs. 305.
Hi.
Hi, Michelle. Thanks for doing this.
That was my cell phone that went off, and it was a random doctor's office, so the results are in, I guess.
Oh,
should I have taken it?
Oh, wait. Okay, can you explain the two cell phone situation?
Oh,
like, who the fuck are
exhausting.
You?
Exhausting. You know, wait. Can I just tell you why I can't win in this
world, why
everyone's against Mitch?
Okay.
This is a new
podcast
I'm launching today. I had a droid for a long time,
yes,
which became the butt. I mean, I always am the butt of many jokes, but this was really like bottom of the barrel, rock bottom.
Sure.
Like
right.
It's when Ken Seeley comes in and he's like, we need to talk.
Oh, no.
And everybody made fun of me because the green text came through and people were like, what kind of animal are you, et cetera.
Uh-huh.
So I went and I bought an iPhone because I figured... on a new number, because I was going overseas. This way they have like free, T-Mobile has free service, whatever.
Great.
Figured great. Bought an iPhone, started giving that number out, and now I use both in the iPhone. I've had a note for over 2 years, but the iPhone is breaking because they're actually garbage.
Right. Well, they're designed to break after 2 years.
Yeah. It's like Inspector Gadget. So I... have it still, so I have two phones, and now everyone's question is, why do you have to, like, I can't just live
so
my life.
I'm sorry.
What do you delineate each of them for?
That's a great question. So my droid I still use for emails,
uh-huh.
like it, because for emails I find it to be a lot better than the iPhone.
Okay.
And I use it for like making calls and the businessy call email
sure.
stuff.
Wow.
The iPhone I use music,
yes.
Twitter, Instagram, pictures. It's like my
Got
fun
it.
Phone.
It's the media
text.
Phone.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, the two phones thing, like you're the fucking Pope or something. Like that's
Oh my God, me and my Motorola.
I'm sorry.
Droid Max or whatever it is. It's
and
fine.
I didn't mean to pile on with like the why, but I had to know.
But they're old phones. Like it doesn't look, I don't look fancy. It's just, it's
no.
nothing.
It's
I got a new Lumi. Oh, that's a whole
oh,
other story.
But see,
look at this.
The Lumi's for the iPhone, though. What happens when that dies? You're going to get a Lumi for this? For the Motorola?
No, I got a new Lumi.
I'm
look
like,
at that.
The only people I know have that are you. The Kardashians mm-hmm. and H. Allen Scott.
Oh, God bless. Three of the most well-lit people in the business.
Right.
He takes amazing selfies.
He does.
We have an amazing guest. He's such a wonderful human. You've seen his live show, Haunting Renditions.
Or if you haven't, you should.
You should.
The voice, truly the new generation's voice of an angel.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. The Dauphin of vibrato.
What?
Just so brilliant.
Thank you. Thanks.
Beautiful titles. And he's written for Teachers, Younger, New Girl, all your favorite shows starring just wonderful, cute brunettes. Sutton, Hillary.
Oh,
Hillary
my God. Hillary Clinton.
I meant Sutton, Kate Friedman.
What's
and
her name from New Girl? Zoe.
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 Of course. How can we forget? It's Elliot Glazer.
Thank you.
Hi, Elliot.
I think you should, by the way, just point out that Matt's not having a scary emergency.
No. I'm so sorry. Yes. A good one. It's sort of a bullshit emergency. Okay, wait. Both of Mish's phones are lit up. What's going on? Are the results in? What did the doctor say? You don't have to share.
It's a girl.
Ah!
I did it.
You
Yay.
Did it. Yay.
Oh, my God. I wish that were true.
That's
Go
okay.
On.
You want a kid now?
The past 2 minutes, I
oh
can't
God.
Get it out of my head.
Do you want?
Be a great mom.
Do you really think so?
I absolutely think so.
Of course.
That's
you have
really
a wonderful
nice.
Mother. I mean.
She's a crazy person, but
yes,
I mean, she's a nut.
Yes.
Like, arguably, everyone thinks she's like, the good things I know she'll never hear this, so that's why
okay.
like on my podcast, I could never go here. It's called Fresh Batch, by the way,
right.
for those listening.
Fresh Batch.
Thanks for the plug,
it's amazing.
Bowen.
It's amazing.
But,
I did plug it.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
I was looking at my phone.
Sorry.
Anyways.
Your mom.
No, but my mom is like, she's, everyone who meets her, I always joke that like they facepalm me into a ditch because you're like, your mom, like she's very funny.
Yes.
And she's purposefully funny. Like she knows what comedy is.
Yes.
She's
right.
timing. She's very, very funny unless she knows that she's on stage and then she kind of shuts down a
sure.
little bit.
Sure, yep.
But she actually is like, she was like psychologically traumatic growing up.
Yeah.
And like.
Oh, as a child, as her
as
child, she was
yes,
psychologically
yes.
traumatic.
So
yes.
people think like, and when they meet her, they're like, oh my God, you're so fucking lucky. Like you're a mom. And I'm like, great performer and like overly loving to an almost asphyxiating.
Yeah,
like you can't breathe, but also truly like borderline abusive. But I'm just being honest. You know, it is what it is.
But was she, so the helicopter thing was like, the helicopter parenting was, I'm assuming, very Jewy.
Jewy, but it wasn't even, that's not even, the abuse was like just, she's from Israel, she was in the Air Force, came from Holocaust survivors, her mother probably
was bipolar, an immigrant.
So there was just a lot, her great aunt committed suicide, like there's a lot of shit in my family. Yeah. Are we supposed to talk about this? I don't know what this is.
Yes, please.
But it's fine, right? People like this. Poor Elliot came all the way to Brooklyn. And then she.
You're speaking my language, ma'am.
I actually felt that.
Jews with mental illness in the family for generations. Ding, ding, ding.
You
ding,
have
ding.
That?
Oh,
Elliot, talk about it.
Are you kidding?
Seriously,
talk about it.
Make me feel like
I've inherited it pretty recently. But you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because my sister converted.
Oh, yeah. Does that count?
I mean, but I'm meeting her.
It does.
I'm meeting my brother-in-law's side of the family, and they're lovely, lovely people. But like. There's a lot of shit going on, but I want to hear about this firsthand primary story.
Yes, and I want to get back
from
to
both
that.
Of you.
I mean, you know, it's just you just grow up with there's like mental illness on both sides, and it stems from generation to generation, and you know, manifests in different ways. And you know, I think my mom tried to learn from my grandfather, and my grandfather tried to you know, as parents do, they try to change what their parents did to them and do it, you know, do it better. But my parents were amazing.
Yeah, you have the most loving parents.
My sister and I are just like kind of stunned now from a macro perspective as to how they did it so well.
Mm. Wow.
Because they did it really well. And I'm not saying that as like meaning talking about like myself or my sister. I just mean like when you look at their approach to parenting, it didn't seem very like specific or like intricate or like intentional. It just was what it was. But now we have perspective where we're like, oh yeah, like they were like parenting our friends, and like everyone else's parents were kind of fucked.
Wow.
And our parents, you know, I'm sure they would say we're not perfect, but like, you know, I think it's that they did a really good job by just being kind of present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like there's other comedians or people, just comedians, but also friends who parent so well just by being around, not by trying to be precious, not by trying to like give too much or give too little. Like they're just, you know, like Andrea Rosen and John Gemberling.
I love them. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're the most, they impress me as parents by just being themselves.
Yeah.
And so they're just as silly with the kids as they are as human beings.
Oh, wow.
But then let me ask you this.
Sure.
See, because it also really depends to me on if the kids naturally were born fun, funky, funny kids, or like monster demon. Because I have friends who have kids, and I'm so paranoid that any of them listening are going to figure it out.
Who cares?
But, and including, you know, I have nieces who are like lovely girls. You know, they live in a really small town. The point that I'm making is that sometimes kids are just born bad.
Yeah.
Like they're
of course.
Born like fucked up or whatever else. And then I see how parents kind of respond to those kids.
Of course.
Sometimes the parents are also evil. This is just even from when I grew up and knowing other kids like that. But I don't know. I can't explain it. Like I feel like they're lucky that their kids are like funny. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because not all kids are funny and fun.
No. I think there's also an element of like being, what's the right word? I guess like, I don't want to say like woke is the wrong term, but like being attuned to your kids in a way that, I don't know. I just keep thinking of like parents who are so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
Oh my
so
God.
Precious. And like their kids have to have the weirdest names, and their kids have to have the weirdest pictures, and their kids have to have the weirdest hobby. You know, like I'm reading a book called Twee. It's literally like the history of Twee culture. And the book is called like something about like the gentle revolution that like rocked a generation.
Is it really small?
It's tiny, but it's so like funny. It's like it's trace, and it's not written in a positive way. It's like is the it basically, you know, talks about how everybody just wants to be, not everybody, but like there's such a generation of people who want to be like
adorable,
tiny,
and
cute and weird and precious and quirky, and it's like it's such a real thing. It used to be like it used to kind of be like an outlier thing, and now it's become the thing. The author of the book talks about how like the idea is you want to not be people don't want to be drowning you in their tweeness, but it's a gradient. So like some people it's they're all twee, and some people like I consider myself probably like 25% twee.
Okay, cool.
You know, like
that's so brave.
But
I can't believe
but
that.
But I'm not. Wow. I purposely am like still like I'm like just like Jewish and New York enough to like not actually give in to it fully.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, like
I'm not twee at all, Michelle.
It's so charming because it's like there's no part of you that feels any that has ever, in my opinion, bit needed to like check off a box of being like cutesy.
That's
or
like nice. Yeah, I've never considered myself cute at all.
Because you
I like animals,
right? But you're like like goats.
I love goats, but and I like goats before other people. Like
I know
goats.
That's what I mean.
Thank you.
You're self aware without being. Yeah, like precious about it, whatever Elliot's saying.
That's really nice. I have a question. I'm so much better about myself.
You should.
Do you feel like, well, this is so unfair. I was going to ask, like, with your parents, do you feel like that vicious cycle of, like, crazy dysfunction in your family has stopped? Because, but, like, how could the fuck could you know? Like, I'm asking because I'm terrified of the ways that I'm going to, like, lash out at the next generation.
That's how I feel.
Right?
Children, you mean?
My sister's about to have a niece, and I'm like, I can't wait to be an uncle, but I'm also like, what are the ways in which I'm going to be a monster to this girl?
Oh, you're
like,
not.
You're not.
I know, but like, or to my kid if I have them, you know?
If you're aware of this stuff, I don't think you can make big, sweeping, shitty judgments that will have terrible lasting effects on your niece.
The other problem is like technology now, I'm about to go somewhere.
Here we go.
Has changed parenting.
Oh my
in
God.
Every direction.
Sure.
So my brother, who, again, I don't think he's going to... I wish that this was just us at a bar. Like, I wish so badly, but God
bless.
I mean,
he's not going to... Virtually that. He's not going to listen.
He means well. So he... No, but, you know, it's like family, fine. He's a lovely guy. We love each other. God bless. But my oldest niece, who's now 13, but she's like 6'6". Like, she's a big girl.
Oh, right.
Skinny, but, like, she just looks like she's 18 already. Wanted to join Instagram and Snapchat. And so he was saying, no. Of course, all her friends. She's in a small town.
Yeah.
You know, what else is there to do? There's barely a DSW there. I mean, where do you go?
Where do you go?
So he was coming to me being like, should she join? And I'm thinking, well, he's divorced. Mother is like, live your life. She does not give a shit. So I'm just like, honestly, let her join Instagram. Because Snapchat to me is when girls like run away with their soccer coach. It's like Snapchat, you know? Yeah. So I said, she can join Instagram. And then she like immediately, so she joined and he like blamed me, which really pissed me off.
Whoa.
Like Michelle said you could. And I'm thinking, I see her once a year.
Yeah.
We barely talk, which makes me sound bad, but it's the way it is. I don't take propeller planes. So it's like, I never see him. I won't get on a plane with
Wait, where do they live? Where do they live?
Like in the panhandle.
Oh, so you have to take a propeller plane.
So I won't take like a single aisle plane. Like,
why do they live in the panhandle?
That's a question for the ages that
how do you get there?
Literally, you
a propeller
hand car from Alabama. It's truly horrible.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, all she has is like Instagram. And then, of course, she immediately follows me on Instagram liking all my pics. And not that I'm like the least porny person. I'm in a turtleneck and ankle.
But you started over for Zion.
My boots like go all the way like into a strapless jumpsuit.
Yeah.
But I just am like, I don't want her seeing me on Instagram. Yeah. That wasn't part of the deal.
You don't, you don't have to check yourself.
Everything
either.
Comes back to me. The point is, that's my fault.
I love it.
Well, also the idea that like kids are just like, I don't think you can just hide the realities of Instagram and Snapchat from children now.
Right.
Like dick pics, I think that's like so mainstream with children, which I couldn't ever even have imagined as a kid.
It's terrible though.
But it's that's my question though. Is that terrible? Is it not positive? But like, I don't know. Is it healthy that they're like aware of this and have a language for it early on, or is it really fucked? I don't know.
Because my fear is if my approach is like, yeah, let them like go on Instagram and like look at like be exposed to the real world, I don't want to end up with a kid who's like the girl from Big Little Lies who like has impeccable music taste, knows like is like a Sonos whiz.
Talk about twee.
That kid. Right? Like, I mean, then it's like you're setting them up for being the fucking twee nightmare that we don't want them to be.
But don't you think, how old are you?
27.
Okay. I'm so
older
I'm,
than me.
Yeah.
That's really funny.
Older than Michelle.
I'm 34 and I specifically like I was saying this at my show the other night that like I feel like I grew up with a culture of like still that like gross like really white trash anarchist like faux Spencer's Gifts anarchistic culture of like quote unquote protest music, but like the, you know, with the wind knocked out of it, like rock and fucking
Mamas and the Papas.
No, oh my god. I'm like, no, I mean, you know, like trash, like blue light poster trash.
Limp Bizkit,
like the even Eminem's. His, you know, people are like, oh, Eminem, and I'm like, remember when he was like, I'm the fucking Slim Shady, and it's like, ew, and it was all trash, and it was all meant to be like, fuck you, mom, fuck you, dad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I loved Eminem, so I'm not even going to pretend.
I mean, so did I.
I'm not going to sit here and be like, I never liked Eminem.
I liked him too, but I recognized that before he was like quote unquote artistic, 8 Mile Eminem, he was just like, you know,
a dickhead white guy, a dicky white dude.
But how does that relate back to dick pics? This is
what
I
mean.
Say.
Is what I mean is yeah. back then, right? Like it was a thing to be like a bad kid. Like bad kids was a thing. Yeah. Like kids, you know, that
that's
movie
every
kids.
Every generation of
no, but
kids.
See, I don't think that's happening now. I think that because of tweet culture and because parents, or at least I guess good parents, have to have these talks with kids early on about sex because they're getting dick pics, which is insane.
Sure.
That I feel like that has been a real sea change where kids, instead of kids now saying like, I hate my parents, you know, I'm going to go into my room and listen to music and play it loud and fuck my parents. I think now it's become that generation of my parents are my best friends. You know what I mean? Like, you don't think so?
No.
Oh, really?
I don't. Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe in the liberal enclaves of New York and Los Angeles.
Yeah,
yes.
Sure.
But
sure.
Then certain
and
monster babies in Middle America.
But I guarantee you that is not in America like
so
that.
So then, what are they listening to? Like, what is their like shutdown? Yeah. What I mean, I'm honestly like, what if rock and roll isn't even really a thing anymore outside
like
of
like Logan Paul? Like, I feel like I don't know what I'm even saying. I'm literally just saying words.
Who's that?
I don't.
He's a Vine star. Logan Paul's a Vine star.
No, but he's like a real piece of fucking shit.
Sure.
And girls especially like love him, and he's just like, he like the neighbors hate him. I mean, am I right? He's the guy that everyone, I'm turning to our, can I say his
I mean
name?
Everyone hates him. Will
our
Smith.
Will Smith is here, folks, and that
I
is
will.
Not a lie. I will.
It's hot. We call him, on our show, we call him Hot Engineer Will, because all the males, we objectify all the male producers.
Will later, I want you to do the monologue from Six Degrees of Separation, if you don't mind.
No, no
would
thanks.
Really make my
such
night.
Such a good voice. Will, later on, Will might regale us with a story.
I have a good one for us.
Okay.
Really?
We'll get. Wait, tell us now. Is that okay? Wait, were you going to finish the point?
No, I guess
no,
not.
Wait, Michelle,
don't derail Michelle.
No, really? No, it's fine. Will, tell us. I'm
okay,
sick of
so
myself,
so as you all now know, my name is Will Smith, and something very strange happened to me recently, where the famous Will Smith, who is making a new movie for Netflix called Bright. Yeah, so he gets on
where
the
his,
social
media. It's a buddy cop film where his buddy is a fairy.
He's an orc.
An orc.
Yeah, it's so kind of like Bad Boys meets like Dungeons and Dragons
it's
races
Warcraft,
or something.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix movie.
It's a Netflix
dark
movie.
To
oh,
me.
Wow.
Hey, but they spent $90 million in this movie, so it wasn't $90 million. So it wasn't exactly dark. It was. Bright
how are
budget.
We not getting this Netflix money every day?
I know.
Ask.
Well, there's more money where that came from.
Yeah, so this shit gets really weird. So he gets on the social medias and says, Will Smith, the famous one. He gets on the social medias and says, hey guys, I'm doing this new movie for Netflix and they want me to do all this promotional material and it's too much stuff and I can't handle it all. So I need everyone whose name is Will Smith to get in touch with us below. And I'm like, it's on. Because my entire life, literally my entire life, has been a series of bad Will Smith jokes.
I'm so sorry.
Wow. So I email them, or I get in touch on Twitter, and they ask me to send them an email. Netflix does. So I email them. We go back and forth a couple of times, and they say, hey, send us a short video with some fun facts about yourself. So I do, and I challenged the famous Will Smith to a duel in the video because, you know, all these bad jokes. I have to defend my honor. There can be only one.
You would kill
him. I mean, I don't know if I would actually kill him. You know, you might, like, do the honorable gentleman thing and shoot into the air or
whatever.
Anyway.
Can I just interrupt by saying you really are going somewhere with this, and I'm respecting
it. I'm excited.
It. I know.
This is a good story. I mean, this is one of the weirdest things that's ever happened to me.
I've never met you, and it's not what I was expecting. I'm just going to say,
Will
right?
Will always speaks with intention.
I
unlike,
feel it.
Unlike us.
Yes.
Unlike us. We
every
just ramble
word,
and ramble.
Every
word
is a marble-carved statue.
Yes, is a cobblestone that leads somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, oh my
okay,
God, Will,
go.
Go.
I'm sorry,
so
Will. Go.
They get back to me after I send the video in, and they say, hey, we really like that, and we want to talk to you more about it, but you need to sign this release form. So I sign the release.
Big mistake.
It wasn't really, because they invited me to the premiere of Bright in LA, and they flew me out and put me up for
what?
The premiere.
Netflix
they
money.
They said, you're going to be walking down the red carpet with many other Will Smiths, including the famous Will Smith.
Oh, my God.
Now, this turned out to be like 30 to 50 Will Smiths plus the famous one.
Oh, my God.
All of us staying in the same hotel and all of us going to the same event. And it was totally bizarre.
That's nuts.
That's like funny.
It was hilarious.
What was this?
This was like a few days ago.
What?
Yeah.
This is a hot breaking press story.
Hot story.
My picture was on Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, it was pretty weird.
Wait, did you meet Will?
I did. I got to shake his hand, but there were so many
of us
that I didn't get to talk to him.
And then he ran off, and then they put all the Will Smiths in a separate theater for the premiere.
Is that true?
Yes, they did. They put us in a separate theater for the premiere. And the after party, which is funny because they had at first like shoehorned us into the VIP after party area when we were getting ready to like go out and, you know, meet famous Will Smith on the red carpet. And they shepherded us into the VIP red carpet area, or red VIP party area. And afterward, the after party, we didn't even go to that one. They had a separate one for all of the Will Smiths and guests.
That's
which
fucked
to me,
up.
To me was infuriating because, you know, I am an audio engineer and I wanted to talk to people from Netflix about all their original content, audio for post, all this kind of stuff.
You know what it says to me? They did not run criminal background checks on all the Will Smiths and they couldn't risk it. They were, that was too expensive. They're like, we'll just throw them another party. Where would you rank yourself in the attractiveness of the Will Smiths invited?
Like in top 10%? Depends on my self-worth on any given day.
You are, Will's very attractive.
Well, that's why I'm asking. Otherwise,
Bowen can rank me in relation to any.
I don't know
Will
what the
Smiths.
Other Will Smiths look like,
yeah,
but
no.
I'd say you're up there.
Can you bring? Can you pull up a picture of the Will Smith?
I can pull up the picture. Stand
I actually am so curious. I met Will Smith once, many, many moons ago. My very first job out of only about 2 years ago. My first job out of college.
Many moons.
Oh wait, here they are.
Oh my God, there's too many.
Wow.
Yeah, there were a lot of us.
This looks like a frat, like a disgusting frat.
Oh
like,
my God.
They told us cocktail attire, so everyone wore some tacky suit.
I have
Mine
to tell you
tacky,
something. 90% of these ones are true monsters.
True.
True I don't
does.
See. Where are you here?
I'm on the right side,
That's
not looking at the camera.
Is this you?
Yeah.
Oh, you look very handsome.
Rock and roll.
Honestly, I'm not hitting on you. Top three hottest Will Smiths in this picture. I really mean that.
But Will, I feel like it was all such a transparent marketing ploy moment thing. But also like so masturbatory, A. B,
I like it.
Why this movie? Why did Will Smith choose this movie to do this?
I don't know. I mean, this must have been on his mind for a long time. I mean, how many of us can there be? Thousands, right?
Like, I'm going to change my name to Jada Pinkett Smith for when she does it.
Now, funny you mention it.
Me and
there
Jada.
There was another Will Smith from New York who was the manager for the Yankees Yankees minor league team.
Oh.
Who had a wife named Jada.
That's
crazy. That is nuts.
Yeah, they were like total like New Jersey, New York.
What is the deal with those two?
Will and Jada?
Yeah.
Let's call David Miscavige and find out.
Wait,
you know
tell
I mean?
Us about this.
Yeah, tell us about your thing.
So I...
I heard they escaped Scientology, by the way, but you go.
All right. Okay, I don't know if anyone really does, but I guess yeah. Well, I mean, we'll get to their deal in a minute. Basically, I was working the Sci-Fi Channel...
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for people to be impressed.
Wow.
My first job out of college, also first job I ever got fired from about 2 months later. But
congrats.
My last for doing nothing, like literally, but also like I didn't do anything wrong, but I also didn't do anything because no one taught me what to do.
Right.
And then I was literally like William Shatner would call and I would be like, I don't know how to help you at all. I'm so sorry. And they were like, you need to go. But anyways, I did get a free trip to LA out of it.
Uh-huh.
And we were staying at the Ritz-Carlton in Pasadena, which now is the Langham. And there was... I think Sugar Ray was getting married like the weekend. It was for the TCA, whatever it is. And so he was the best man. And he was in a full
Will Smith. Was the best man to
Yes, it was after Ali.
Wait.
Sugar Ray.
We both fought Mark McGrath, right?
But Mark McGrath.
No.
Oh, Sugar Ray.
Sugar Ray
Leonard.
I was like, wait a minute.
I am really laughing. Yeah, Sugar Ray, and there were no condoms. And everybody was like, we want condoms.
Oh, my God.
No, so he was walking up the steps, and I was with all these girls that I worked with, and he was so gorgeous, I have to say. I mean, he's gorgeous. Like, he's tall, and he's Will fucking Smith.
Beautiful.
And he went, so charming. He went, good morning. To all of us.
Oh, wow.
And literally, we stood there. Not one of us said a word.
Yeah.
Wow. We didn't say anything. I've never had that happen. And he kept walking. And then it was like in Love Actually when Laura Linney makes out with a model. We were like stomping our feet. And then I called my mom, later. And I was like, Mom, we met Will Smith. And like, we didn't say, and you know, I was like, oh my God, it was so great. And then we didn't say anything because we were so like terrified.
Sure, back,
And she went, ugh, so what? He shits like you. He shits like you. So what?
Oh my God.
Said, like, she can't impress her. Can I finish this?
Please do.
Thank you.
And that's...
Oh, no.
But that's that Floridian mom. Can I say Jewish Israeli mom?
Oh, it's terrifying.
Speaking. No, it's great.
Let's get back to Elliot's singing voice.
Okay, Elliot.
That's really what I want to know everything about.
I have to. I think Jada really does strike me as having a very butch.
I was going to say butch.
She's a mask. Mask for mask.
And
have you seen her? Have you seen her grunge band?
Oh, are you kidding?
What?
What's
of
it called?
I don't even know the name.
Alana's. My sister loves it.
They were on Jay Leno or something.
Alana has shown me the video.
What? It
is called like passing.
Wait, are we talking?
All I'm going to say, without passing judgment on this family. And
so
by the way, I'm going to say something.
Jada's hardcore band.
Yes,
I saw them at Ozfest in like 2000.
What are they called? What are they called?
I saw them and I didn't know who they were. I was just like,
"Yo, Jada's
white. Jada's white. She went to Ozfest. No, she was a white woman.
It was literally a white rock band. The video of her on Jay Leno. It's nuts.
It's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Are you looking up the name?
No, no.
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Okay, it's like Passing Strange or something, or like. It's a crazy name.
Okay, so what are we trying to get at right now? Is that maybe she's queer?
Wisdom.
Wicked Wisdom.
Yeah, I saw them at Total Random at Ozfest 05 when I was in high school.
Wow.
I just like was there and they were playing at like noon or something on the second stage. It's like, this is kind of cool.
Mm. Wicked Wisdom.
She really, I have to say this. Say what you will about Jada. Two things. She kills it in Wicked Wisdom.
Of course.
She gives it. I will
just tell you,
if you think you know Jada Pinkett Smith, you don't know her. The real Jada Pinkett is the lead singer of Wicked Wisdom.
Okay.
Yes, she is.
That is.
Actually.
Yes,
Michelle,
that is,
I think we've stumbled on a rule, and that's rule number 24 of culture, which is the real Jada Pinkett Smith is the lead singer of Wicked Wisdom. Let's say it together.
The real Jada Pinkett Smith is the lead singer of Wicked Wisdom.
Okay,
that's
great.
Factual.
Yeah, there's like Jada Pinkett Smith from like a different world. There's Jada Pinkett Smith from Set It Off.
Set It Off.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
With Queen Latifah.
And I'm like,
hilarious.
Was there, I think there was a reference to Set It Off in Girls Trip.
Was it buried in Queen Latifah's the danishes that they were hot gluing to the front of her head?
Oh, wait, what was
it? That movie, Queen Latifah's wardrobe and hair in Girls Trip is something that
they were like.
I need to dissect.
They were kinetic sculptures. They were like, what is going on?
It was, but never referenced. She was in full mod cloth boogie woogie bugle boy.
Modcloth boogie woogie bugle boy.
Like 1950s. I was like, what the fuck? And Queen Latifah, like, God bless.
Gorgeous.
By the way, gorgeous. Yeah, she's
pretty. What were we going to say?
Well, I will say this, that I'm a very tall girl.
Gorgeous.
I'm 6'1".
Yes.
And every time I see people who are like, who I think are my size, and then I meet them in person, and they're like half my size. It's happened twice. Khloe Kardashian and Queen Latifah.
Uh-huh.
Both much shorter than you think they are. Okay?
Right. Interesting.
But Queen Latifah, she's a curvy gal,
right?
They do her no favor. They're pleating in the front with the skirts, constant khakis, and then they're putting these fucking danishes on her head.
Right.
And I'm like, how can I take
rolls.
This movie seriously when she looks like that?
Yeah. Yes, I have to agree with
you.
I think the movie is, I think Tiffany Haddish sort of lives in a world outside the movie. She's sort of, really? Oh, I think she's so,
she was the star. I feel
she's the star of the movie.
So captivatingly funny.
Can I tell you?
But the movie is,
well,
it's not
okay. I mean, it's fun, but I mean, it's not a, you know, like there's a lot of like goofy music in it that bumped me, you know, that those like goofy music sequences where I'm like,
the airport scenes were shot at a Marriott, like,
right, that's,
and really
the exterior shots of Jada's house were like blurry stock photos, and I was like, you guys, wait a minute.
I agree.
I love this movie. I'm happy to support this, but also like, let's get it together.
Yes, it looked, a lot of it looked very cheap, and I was surprised because it was a really fun movie, but I was like, that looks so fake.
And I've been saying this since the summer, and it's literally not just because you're here, and if Matt were here, he could vouch for this. I was saying all summer, and since I watched it, I was like, God, Rough Night is like, and not to like draw comparisons, but like Rough Night is like, to me, like a perfect film, because I saw it and I was like, this is exactly my sense of humor, and like, good on a movie for like getting that and like capturing that. But then I saw Girls Trip and I was like, and people started like shitting on Rough Night during the reviews, and I was like, wait, this isn't,
I know, it was like the 40-year-old version Wedding Crashers thing,
yes,
where
oh yeah,
they came out almost at the same time,
yes,
and they were similar because they had either all guys or all women, and then comparisons are drawn, even though they're completely separate movies, made in separate universes.
Yeah.
I went with Steven, who you know. You guys used to be CrossFit friends, which really made me happy. That like made me feel good when you guys were like in CrossFit.
I think we both
together.
Quit CrossFit.
Yes, when we had to get shoulder surgery.
Right.
I've never worked out. Anyway, so.
Keep going.
No,
keep
we went through a whole like family circus, dashes through the city to get tickets to fucking Girls Trip.
Yeah.
Because first we went to the 42nd Street Theater, which truly is now just turned into a bed bug holding a projector.
Oh my God.
Like on a wall. It's not
it
even a theater.
Nasty.
It's
nasty.
We left. Oh, I literally.
I would never.
No, we threw a fit.
That's the theater Matt and I saw Girls Trip at. But yeah.
Oh my God.
Going.
First of all, to get to the theater, it's like LOL, like ask a wise man on top of a mountain.
It's insane.
Like 1,500 escalators. I mean, it's a nightmare.
It is crazy.
So then we went to Chelsea because I was like, oh, this has been much funnier. Because like, you know, I love a gay audience. It'll be nice. And then it was like half empty. And
of course it was half empty.
I mean, but I will say that the best laugh, I'm not going to comment on how much I laughed. I will say this. I saw Tiffany Haddish do stand-up years ago. To this day, one of the funniest live things in my life, really, I've ever seen.
Yeah.
She
amazing.
Lit up the fucking room.
Yeah.
Like in a way that only maybe Chris Rock I've seen do. Like where it's like the whole place.
She is electric. I mean, she really
electric.
Is.
I agree.
Something is.
And her stories on any talk show I could listen to for hours and
so
hours.
Good.
I know.
So good.
That being said, the funniest part of fucking Girls Trip is, and the part Stephen and I were like watching, we're like, all right. And then there was a part at the end when Regina Hall is on stage, like giving her speech at the podium, and they all run in.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the camera cuts, it's Queen, full almond croissant, who was Tiffany, and Jada.
Yeah.
And I actually thought Jada was good in it because she was very natural.
She's great.
She was.
The other two are like dry as a fucking bone, including Queen.
Oh my God.
And Jada is sweaty as though literally someone dunked her in a fucking ball pool.
I know.
She is, but it's not, it's not a joke. It's like not meant to be funny.
Well, and they mentioned it on the way over, like when they're like trying to get there, and they're stuck in the cab. There's something I remember them talking something about sweating, but like then why is it just Jada?
Well, every time when you watch the movie, if you're listening, every time they cut to Jada, we literally were screaming with laughter.
I thought Regina Hall was very
funny.
She
was great.
She was good. Yeah, I like her.
And Matt will maintain that Regina Hall deserves to be as big as Sandra Bullock. And she should.
Wow.
She's amazing. I think she's great. Every movie she's been in.
I like her
incredible.
A lot.
Yeah.
And she's sort of gotten the shaft.
She's gotten the shaft. Here's the thing
about Regina King, also one of the funniest.
And Regina King.
One of the funniest of all time.
But also I love dramatic.
Her.
I mean,
so good dramatic stuff. Here's the thing.
227,
for God's sake. The cast in Girls Trip is like A+.
Can I make a.
Please, go.
I think Michelle's going to agree with me on this.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
I think Queen Latifah is overrated.
Here we go. Let's
every vein in my neck, my lower jaw just
do you disagree
went,
with
got
me?
In an Uber and went home.
Let's support this.
And
oh my
now,
God!
Like two faced.
I love that she sort of transcended where you know
what she
like,
was.
What she was, you know, already sort of like a groundbreaking hip hop, you know, a rapper.
MC, yeah.
Truly, and like nobody knows or cares about this movie, but I love the movie Living Out Loud from 1995.
Never seen
that was like her first acting job, where she plays like a gay jazz singer, and she's charming in it.
Stretch.
Oh my God!
But subsequently, a lot of times I'm like, there's not much happening.
Yeah,
and I thought she was. I thought she was funny in Girls Trip, but I find that I feel, and this is just my opinion, but I feel like she's very guarded. And for someone who's so successful as an actress, I never really I feel
you
like
don't
she's
know her.
Just being Queen Latifah.
I agree. I don't think she is a great actress. I think that she's stiff.
I guess that's what I mean.
I will say, however, that just this weekend I did a head-to-toe cleaning of my apartment, and while doing that, I watched.
Bring
I'm going to tell
house.
You no, because I always watch musicals. So what was on Netflix?
Chicago.
Well, I paid for Dreamgirls, and then I watched Chicago streaming.
Right.
And she's very good in Chicago.
She's excellent.
She
Chicago.
Really is good in it.
And I was saying she actually made me laugh in Girls Trip. She did. I mean, and I was. I'm saying I'm surprised that she made me laugh.
Yeah.
Her storyline was just I'm poor.
I'm poor.
It was like
I'm
a writer, and then she's like working at Gawker in that Boogie Woogie shit. I literally was like,
it makes no.
What? Or no,
sense.
It was like media takeout or something.
It was
just.
Insane.
We should write a movie. Listen, are we recording? God, turn it off. Stop recording. We should write
a movie.
Listen, it's about us. Let me finish. It's called like Who Are They?
I like her, but I'm also like I guess here's what I'm saying.
Go on.
She walked through it, but go.
She what?
She's like been sleepwalking
right.
through.
That's what I mean, and that's exactly what I mean.
There's no fire within the queen.
Yes.
And then the fact that she has a talk show. kind of baffled me because
still on?
No,
I don't. No, no. But she had, didn't she have two talk shows?
She was. Can I tell you? I went to a taping of her talk show. This is really funny. When I was, I believe, in college or right after. I went to a taping of the Queen Latifah show because we got free tickets.
The first one.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Down in Chelsea, where early aughts. Wendy is now. Yeah, early aughts. And we were so late, and we had to ride in the elevator with her dad, rest in peace, her poor father, Mr. Owens. And he was so nice. He introduced himself to us. It was me and, like, four white people. Okay. And the second we got there, they literally, like, fell to their knees in happiness, like, with arms outstretched, like, thank you. And then they spread us around this mostly ethnic audience.
Sure. Yeah.
And then afterwards, they pulled us aside to be like, please come back. Bring your friends.
Wait, why you?
Because we were the only white people there.
Oh,
we were, I will say something reverse to scrims, but opposite.
Fine.
We were treated like kings and queens.
But she had two talk shows.
Did she have a second one?
Like, late
but for,
tens
but
and
for
teens.
For someone who has not publicly come out, especially in the land of, like, Ellen.
Right.
That's true.
It's like, bizarre.
Why and put yourself on display, like, day after day?
That's exactly
because
what I mean.
Because you know why? People, she's like a personality.
But
America.
Right.
So, yeah, she's going to have a talk show. She's, like, trying to be a mogul. That's what people think. Don't you get it? Think about who has talk shows.
Right. Steve Harvey.
Yeah. You think you know Steve Harvey? Steve Harvey's probably... I love Steve Harvey.
He would hate me.
Oh, you think he'd like me? He probably would love me, actually. Let me leave that in. He would love me.
I feel like he's so secretly homophobic.
Absolutely.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah. He's not a good person. Like, right. I think he's funny, but...
I think he's funny, too.
I also think that it's, like, an act to the nth degree of, like, him liking, like, kids and shit. It's like, come on.
But it's so good, though. Like, I think he's fucking hilarious.
But don't you think that...
He hates Asian people, though. He, like, truly hates them.
But don't you think that... But, like, unlike Steve Harvey, who couldn't... Even if you wouldn't find... Even if you wouldn't describe him as accessible, he's still, like, bombastic enough.
Right,
his personality is loud.
He's more dynamic than Queen Latifah.
I'm like, who
are you?
But she was, like, a cover girl. I mean, this fucking girl has...
I know.
She's famous. Like, that's it. She has just transcended from being just a rapper.
Right.
And she became a mogul. I mean,
but is
really.
She do you find her charming?
Personally,
no.
I did not think she was a good talk show host. I mean, I never watched it except for literally the one
but
taping
when
you
say
into.
Stiff, and I agree, and I say stiff.
Yeah.
I'm like, so what is America, is there, like, white guilt regarding her? Or, because she was great in Chicago.
Excuse me, so many people get talk shows who have no business. I mean,
right.
Yeah, so many.
What did
you
think of Bethany's talk show?
Well, I was on it.
Oh.
What? When?
Was it a good experience?
I was on with Stassi.
Oh,
from
wow.
Vandy
Stassi.
PRs,
She's
Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules. Okay.
She was really nice, actually.
Good.
Bethany, I will say this about Bethany. I like her on... Housewives.
Mm-hmm.
She looks, first of all, fantastic.
Oh,
I mean,
God.
You see her these days on Shark Tank. I'm like, whatever they did, whatever mallets they took, they should bronze them. And I need to know who did it because I want it head to toe.
Yes.
I mean, really.
Bronze the mallets.
Bronze the mallets. Will I ever work again after this podcast? I can't decide. It was fine.
Yeah.
But there's really, here's a great example of someone who, listen.
I have one, but you go.
I'm in no place professionally to put anyone down. Let's put it that way. But I will say this. I really like Bethany. I think she's great. But, like, she to me is someone who has her whole personality is that she's closed off.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
is like she's a New York closed off woman. And
right.
I've met her a million times. She's fine. I have no beef with Bethany.
Sure,
God
yeah.
may
sure.
it stay that way forever. But she's not like a warm person. It's not how she's. And I actually don't think that warm people. I'm speaking of myself, can be successful.
Right, right.
No, it can be that bloodthirsty when it comes to success and money and stuff like that because it's like you have to be fucking
you're
cold
people pleasers.
To make it that far.
Just, someone like that, like you're not gonna, she's not the gregarious talk show host.
But like Anderson Cooper is another example,
mm-hmm.
is someone who I love.
Yeah,
great
sure.
newscaster, has a great thing going with Andy Cohen, but like is not a warm person.
No.
Like he's good at,
doesn't
he's amazing.
Need a talk show.
Doesn't need a talk show.
He's not accessible in that way.
Yes.
You're rich as fuck.
Right.
You're a child of socialites.
Yep.
I don't think anybody wants to spend an afternoon
but
with you.
None you're, of those were, let's put it this way, like none of them lasted because
right.
I think that the truth is, there's no warmth anymore, including
right.
even, I hate to say, I think with Ellen, too. Like, I think Ellen is,
well,
like,
she's a
programmed now.
Yeah.
I mean, a brilliant woman.
Sure.
Inspirational. I mean, truly, like, you know, how would you even describe her? Beyond.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I never watched her show, to be fair, but when I catch parts of it, it just seems, like, so rote.
Yeah. Well,
I'm like, oh.
You know who has no business hosting a talk show, but yet still does? And I guess you could consider her to be warm is Rachel Ray. Like, why is she still? I mean, I guess she's a mogul. She has an empire, but like,
she makes a 10-minute meal and she loves dogs. And I say, God bless.
That's all it takes.
I've never wanted to watch that show in even a campy way. Not because I dislike her, but because I have no connection or interest in her brand.
Right.
And I'm like, and this is a real question. Are people watching her, like, microwave stuff?
They're people watching like her.
Is she cooking or, like, just, like, I'm making stuff in toasters?
She's pushing chicken cutlets on a fucking frying pan around, and people applaud. People applaud.
Here's another question. Does anybody ever watch morning television and go, I'm going to cook that? I'm going to take down that recipe. They do? You think people do?
I think, can I be honest?
Sure.
I have friends who all, including my parents or my mom, they use Rachel Ray's recipes.
Wow.
They go online, they find them. She apparently has good, fast recipes.
Okay,
I think people like that. But what I was going to say, and I speak from experience in a way, is that I think we're assuming that this business is like where warm, true talent really goes far.
Yeah, right,
and
yeah.
It's like, the truth is with things like talk shows, I mean, it's a business and it's show business. And so,
and a talk show's crazy.
Yeah, they don't give a fuck. Yeah. It's all politics. Yeah. It's all this. It's all that. So whatever. I'm like, I'm so bitter.
I'm so curious.
Leave that in. No, go on.
I feel like that's where you just belong. And
That's nice of you to say that.
Take this in the best way possible. You would do it again.
No, that's all I want to do.
Everybody in comedy
is so good.
The main consensus is that where's Michelle's talk show?
Right.
That's a very nice to
hear.
Thank you.
True. Rule number 70 of culture, where's Michelle's talk show? Michelle, say it with me. Rule number 70 of culture.
Oh my God.
Where's Michelle's talk show?
Can I bring up The View?
Yeah.
I started watching The View again when Michelle was on, because I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting.
Yep. Meant the world to me, by the way. Like,
of
when
course.
You were tweeting me, I was like, because Ellen and I used to work together.
Yes. You guys go way back.
Technically, I'm going to say I hired you.
Yes.
And I really brought you. I was like, you're the number one
choice.
It was
my dream job.
Dream job. And that it was like such a stupid job at Best Week Ever.
So silly.
It was
for
so
a show
dumb.
That wasn't on the air anymore.
Yeah, we did nothing.
The first show that I watched in high school.
Oh, me too.
I mean, we all did.
Me too.
Me too.
So go on.
But I started watching it when Michelle was on, and Michelle was hilarious on
so
it.
Thank good. You. So good.
But, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I couldn't believe that, like, the audience, like, wouldn't forget about the audience.
They didn't
pick up your jokes, and it wasn't like you weren't doing like super absurdist weird references. It was like you being funny, and like, I think, you know, I don't want to speak for you, but it felt like you were trying to really like be in the vibe and like even talk politics and stuff. But my feeling is, while you're on The View, and also since you've not been on The View, I watch it because it is such a weird show, because I look at it as a show where they're like trying to fit in the rubric of morning TV, which is a very specific and weird animal.
Yep.
And with Whoopi at the helm and Joy, who's like a sort of firecracker, like liberal Italian from like from Brooklyn, and Whoopi, who like can't read the teleprompter, it's a mess. And I'm like, what is going on? Because they're trying to do this like morning talk show thing, or, you know, fit into the morning vibe, and like Whoopi literally seems to not be able to read the teleprompter and gets angry at the producers when they tell her to rap, which makes it all it's a bizarre show.
But I
will just piggyback by saying that I fucking love Whoopi so much.
She's
literally the best person I've ever met.
Oh my God.
No, I have to always say that, because you know.
No, and I'll say I
won't bring up anyone else, but
no,
I will say that Whoopi is like
and let me
A
add
plus.
That I met her because she did a little thing on Broad City.
Oh yeah.
And she was
literally
the kindest, sweetest soul, which is why you can tell that like on that show, when somebody, usually like an actor or a celebrity, is speaking to her and speaking so highly of her, she smiles in a way that's like, okay, that's the real woman, and that's why she's so beloved, because she's such a kind soul.
She's the best,
but
like,
she seems
truly
to hate
from day
the
one
job, which is why I'm like, what? That's the sort of
disparity.
Schism, is that the right word?
I'm not going to say
schism's like a
the
separation.
Job.
Yeah,
it's listen. I feel like I never read about it anymore, which is a blessing for me, because this way it's like, I haven't like,
sure,
you
yeah.
know, exactly. It's fine. I mean, whatever. God bless. A highlight of my career, certainly.
Of course.
That being said, I know that, you know, there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
What I always say about that job was like, the second the cameras were on, it was like the fucking best job.
Of course.
Like, I was like, I'm so lucky. I love it. And I actually felt like the audience, for the most part, was on my side. Like, I actually didn't feel like they came, especially, well, I will say this, like, there are a ton of gay guys who watch The View. It is insane. And I don't believe, my opinion, that the producers know, I don't think that gay men are, like, in the Nielsen ratings or anything. So they're sort of not really catered to on that show. That being, that makes sense, right?
Like, absolutely.
So they're aiming for, like, the moms and whatever else, which, of course, makes sense. But, yeah, it's, like, it's a mess. I mean, so, not always.
I was going to say the reason that it's so, that's the reason that I find it, I watch it sort of like an art project.
Yeah.
Because what you're saying is they're trying to reach, you know, moms and moms in middle America. However, the show is anchored by two, I mean, Whoopi is an eccentric New York comedian performance artist.
Right.
Joy is like a, you know, is like hilarious, but like, you know, her own thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then so to try to, it's like trying to like put a square into a circle.
And, I can't comment on the chefs that put the recipe together. That's
why
outside.
I watch it like an art project. Because it feels like they're trying to do a morning talk show with very almost eccentric New York personalities.
Well, really only two. And then they have
two, but
they keep mixing
to,
the other. I mean, when I was brought on, it was basically they were trying to, by the way, this show was about Elliot. I came to technically co-host, and now I feel like it's about
me. I want
to
talk about The View.
No, but honestly, I know. That's why I love Elliot. I love when Elliot brings it up secretly. I'm like, what? I couldn't. All right. No, I mean, imagine that, like, I get hired and they were like, we're going to make it because the producers who hired me were like, we're going to make it this pop culture. Like, we want it to be more pop culture.
Yep,
by the way, of course, with everything going on politically, it would have to be political no matter what, because politics and pop culture are one and the same at the moment. So it's like converged. But they were like, yeah, we want to make it funny, pop culture. And I was like, great. So they hired me and Raven Simone. Now, Raven and I were like tight from the beginning.
She seems amazing.
Hilarious. Yeah. I mean, truly very funny and kind and great. And then that producer got fired.
Right.
And it was like almost before my first day. It was like already like I was scrapping, like fighting to stay, you know. And of course, we know how that ended.
Were you there during the Trump election? Oof.
Oh, yeah. Throughout the whole election. So,
oh, boy.
And then they brought Joy back. And like, you know, the thing with Joy is like she's very funny. Mm-hmm. She comes in with like premeditated, like ready to go. She's all quick on her feet, but like she's very broad, you know? And I then had to kind of slip my stuff in through the mail slot, not to compete with her, but also to get my point across. So that was like a ballet.
You were forced into that corner though as like a survival instinct to like, okay, well let me just like let this fly under the radar.
Well,
which
I did my thing too. I mean, I didn't obviously. I was there to be myself, and that's what I tried to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, I did as much as I could, and I knew that I had a feeling that the writing was on the wall, literally from day one. So
after the producer left,
I just had a vibe. So, that's that show. When I had to like write my like goodbye message, I called myself a one seasoner because that was what it is. Like you go for one season, it's like, you know, junior college,
it's
and then you go.
It's just very bizarre. It's a very bizarre. It's a bizarre show, and even like I have no interest in The Talk, and I think it's for a specific reason. It's because that show is like. It's smooth. Truly, it's like a smooth and like a well-oiled machine, and it's boring to me because The View is just it's weird. It's a weird hour of television.
I will say, like, look, I think back. It's funny because like it was just the craziest, obviously,
of course.
Craziest thing, and it led to so many other things, still leading to other things, and. For me, I called it talk show boot camp because it was like, for someone who really has always wanted to be a talk show host, you know, it sounds so dorky, but it's really been like childhood dream, comedy, talk show, never SNL. People are like, why didn't you try it for SNL? I'm like, that wasn't my childhood dream. Like, why would I go for that?
Right.
You know? But that being said, like, you couldn't pick a better show to like sharpen the knives on than The View.
How early did you have to get there every day?
Not that bad. Like 7. It wasn't too bad.
It's earlier
30.
Than I guessed.
No, not that bad. And then, you know, the whole, they would like dip me in paint.
Right,
and like push me out, put me in like a terrible, I used to call them the Caitlyn Jenner dresses because I was like, oh my God, let's not even get into the fucking wardrobe there because that was a whole other thing. Wait, this is like my, I can't write a book anymore. Oh, too bad.
Do you like Meghan McCain?
Never met her.
Yeah.
I don't watch the show.
Oh, no.
I can't because it's like too close.
It's too
close. And listen, if you don't think, of course, they want people to leave bitter.
Sure.
They do everything within their power to push people out feeling like shit.
Yeah.
I'm not the only person they've done that to.
Well,
I did not go to Variety and give an interview because I was raised in a home.
Right.
And I was raised as a lady. So like I didn't want to go spilling secrets like right after because I was grateful for the opportunity. But that being said, like, they really want you to leave and just like block everyone's number. It's crazy.
Yeah,
it's and not the people on camera I'm talking about, by the way. Like, no one who you would know.
Of course.
Talking about behind the scenes people, they don't give a fuck. They're like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Pack it up.
Yeah.
I was like,
I still remember there was like a Vanity Fair piece.
Oh my God. Yeah.
That
of course.
Was crazy. And it was like, oof. They just. I mean, they painted the picture of like Rosie and Whoopi. I'm also friends with Susie Essman, who's like best friends with Joy.
Well,
so
by
I also
way,
have another.
Is hilarious.
Susie is a living. She's a deity.
She's the
in
funniest.
My life.
What does she say? Well, tell me everything. Obviously.
Well, I can't talk.
We
should
tell
talk
me
about
after.
It all. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right.
But she is the greatest, Susie. Oh, she's
this
the greatest.
Susie, they really had a show together, Joy and Susie, right?
Yes.
On
TLC or
TLC,
something.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing is because she plays my mom on Broad City.
Oh, right.
And she, you know, she's playing a pretty tough, you know, doing the sort of Susie thing.
She's so good. I mean, she's so good.
Well,
I mean,
she's one
so
of the funniest.
Good. One of the funniest.
Of all time.
Yeah,
of all time. But what's just a funny little thing about Susie is that as soon as she started playing my mom on the show, my mom in real life said, I was like, Mom, I swear, I was like, Mom, do you like Susie's impression of you? And my mom said, she's not playing me. She never stops talking.
But that just sounds like Susie.
I know.
That's
like,
hilarious.
She never, I'm like, who
you should
you
cast Joy on Broad City.
Are you kidding?
Why don't you? She'll
I'd
do
love
it in a minute.
To. Oh, it's
please.
Not, I,
should I
I'd
text
love
her?
To.
Oh my God. Joy would, are you kidding me? She would be fucking thrilled.
I have no idea.
By the way, I'm like putting words in her mouth. I assume, I imagine. I mean, it's like the most beloved show.
Oh God.
She would do it in a heartbeat.
Love
she
to
would.
Enjoy doing.
God, Susie was in an episode of SVU that I saw recently,
no.
and she was amazing. She was.
You know what's great about Susie is that she plays these like ball busting Jewish women, and in real life, yes, she's very bold and very, of course, outspoken. But she's really sweet, and
yeah, of course,
really, really, really thoughtful. Mm. And so it's just so funny to watch her on like Curb, where she's just ruthless.
She's so funny,
ruthless.
What do you think of this last season of Curb?
I'm so weirded out by it.
I love Larry.
Oh, sure,
love. Like,
love.
Think he's attractive.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Met him. Through Rosie Perez, God bless, when they were in their
fight
together.
Oh, Rosie.
Not to name drop my ex-view co-host. Got to give Rosie P a shout out. She was the best.
Yeah.
And he shined a light from within because he eats very healthily.
Mm-hmm.
He looked truly like a little glowworm.
Yeah.
He was so shiny. Like, not shiny, like lit.
Yeah.
He's so nice. Soft skin. I was like, what is his
secret? Daughter's also really pretty and also really funny on Instagram.
I bet.
And she's dating, Pete Davidson.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
that
like
family's filthy rich, though.
But he doesn't.
Oh, what a turn on.
He doesn't come off to me that way.
That's good. That's good.
I mean, I don't. You lived in LA, sort of on and off, and like to me, that was the first show where I was like, oh, this is not like LA. It was the first time that LA appealed to me, but also it's because he's living like a Westwood, Westwood like Spanish colonial. Mansion
Hacienda
life
and like a retiree, like he's
exactly.
always at lunch,
exactly.
like he goes to Zanku's,
exactly. And
to Zanku's on the show.
Yeah, there's a whole episode about it.
Oh, is that
Palestinian
supposed
chicken?
To be Zanko?
Yeah,
it is.
Hello, Zanku. It's a Palestinian chicken episode. Yes,
but that's literally supposed to be Zanko.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You pronounce Zanko? Is it Zanko?
I say
or Zanku. Zanku.
Oh, I say Zanko. I'm just. Oh,
I see Zanky's.
Zanky.
Do you like it? I love that place.
No, you know where I used to go? Roro's Chicken, because I've never been to Zanku's. You know what the best food is, though? Wait, we should go because I'm coming to LA.
Tell me.
Carousel.
Carousel?
Have
you been? No.
I'm about to burn every motherfucker up in here. The Armenian restaurant Carousel in Los Angeles. There's two. One in Glendale, and then, of course, where all your Ubers were born. And then they're all made there, all the Camrys and Priuses. But then there's one on Hollywood Boulevard in like Thai Town.
Oh, cute.
It literally,
it's called Carousel Chicken, or it's just
Carousel. They have a labneh there. I will tell you one funny story. I was
so
living
interested.
With an actress when I first moved to LA, and I went and I brought Carousel a whole tray's worth for the week, and because I love to eat. Will Smith. And I took it home and I like put it in the fridge, and I came the next day, the whole thing was gone. She came downstairs, she was like norbitting down the steps.
No.
Because like there was like no food in the house, and she was like, you can't bring that food in, like I ate all of it. And I was like, girl, I've got an eating D, but like not like
Wait, Bowen, have you lived in LA at all?
Never.
Would you?
But I love it. And this is my favorite quote This is my
you
favorite quote about LA. Our friend Jamie Salka says everyone loves LA. And then I said, well, what about people who hate it? And he said, they just don't know that they love it yet.
That's a mistake.
Why?
When I moved there, everyone said to me, give it 2 years.
Yeah, give it 2 years.
Then they said four. It takes 4 years. I'm like, what is this, like,
and how long did it take for you?
5 years, and then I moved back.
Okay.
To do The View, but also, but I was grateful
to come
back.
You love New York.
I do.
Right? I mean,
love.
I love LA. And and I might be the outlier, but I just love it. I and maybe it's because I'm from New York that I just got
tired.
To find an alternative where like people weren't, where your blood isn't boiling all the time by default, really cathartic.
See, but that's funny because I have, that's my constant blood temp.
Sure.
Is that a full cauldron, scalding
bubbling cauldron. Oh my God.
And then when I bring that energy to LA, people are really nice in LA. I will say, nobody honks their horns.
Nobody.
And it makes me fucking crazy. I'm like, I honk a fucking horn.
See, I honk a horn too, but because people let you into their... I'm from Long Island, where people literally speed up so you can't...
Yes.
Jesus.
I mean, seriously, they speed up so you can't get off at your exit, which is like... Where else in the
world? Disgusting.
It's insane.
So in LA, you feel like you've been tempered into, like, just...
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a dummy. Like, I love going to sound baths, but, like, I never feel like I'm, like, on a journey or, right, whatever.
Truly clean.
I just... Wait, what do you mean, clean?
Sound baths.
Oh, have you done them?
No, I'm dying to. Do you want to go with me when I come?
I know.
Wait, I'm sorry.
Elliot?
What is a sound bath?
What is a sound bath? Will you go with me to the sound bath?
I'll take you to the...
I have never been.
Okay.
Tell them what it is.
No,
they
what
are
is
the
it?
Greatest. So sound bath is... a thing where you are with a group of people. It's very Hail Bop. It sounds like pre-Hail Bop, whatever.
Get your Nikes out.
Heaven's Gate away to
Heaven's Gate, right.
Yeah, totally.
And what you were talking about. Okay.
Okay, so it's a thing, a group. It's like a yoga class almost, but you go in and you lay down and you like bundle up. A lot of the women usually bundle up. I don't need to bundle up.
They bundle up. Women are the fucking worst. I'm sorry. I speak as one.
I'm like, why are you like putting yourself under like, dousing yourself in blankets, but whatever.
Is it cold in there?
No, but it's usually women who are like, I'm freezing.
So you're in a room.
You're in
like
a room.
Preemies. Okay,
right, and everybody lays down, and you just you chill out. And usually, most sound baths are one person leading a bath with like Tibetan bowls and gongs.
Oh, that sounds nice.
And chimes, and it sounds so silly in theory.
I love it.
But it's truly the most relaxing nap you could imagine, or the most it's just meditative. And of course they're like, you might feel like you're on a journey, you might see things and start, and you're like, maybe some people do. I of course don't.
Of course,
I just find it a relaxing
okay,
nap.
Good.
Can we go to the Integratron?
Oh, I would love to.
Wait, can we make it? Can I propose a day?
I would. Sure.
I'll drive.
I'd love to.
Let's like book it now. Cabazon and Integratron.
What's Cab? Oh, I don't.
The
think
outlets.
Oh yes, I'd love to.
Yes,
Alana and I did the Integratron.
And what
on
happened?
Christmas. It was amazing. I mean, you know, the Integratron is this weird thing in the desert. It's a weird like dome hut that they say aliens built.
That sounds like some Steve Bannon shit.
It's
though.
Nuts, okay. But it's a perfect.
It's very pro-life.
It's very biosphere too.
So many bowls. You can't.
It's a perfect dome in the middle of Joshua Tree. So the acoustics are such that you're sitting in a room where it doesn't matter where you're sitting. It sounds like the person across the way is in your ear because the acoustics are so strange.
Wow.
And so that Fernando and I did that together, and he was weirded out. But we were like, but it was fun. It was a it's a fun weird sound bath. And that was my intro. But I've done a bunch. I love. Most of them. There is one place where I went that is so beautiful, and it was the worst sound bath you could possibly imagine. The woman who ran it was sort of this middle-aged, like, she was like a pull-no-punches kind of lady.
It's Queen Latifah.
However...
Can you imagine if Queen Latifah ran a secret sound bath? I would be like, where the fuck is it?
I'd be like, there's like, the personality.
Woogie bugle boy of company. Sorry, go on.
Oh, no. But this, like, usually sound baths are, like, led by somebody, like, chill, maybe a little out there, whatever.
Yeah.
This lady made me laugh because she was kind of a monster. And, like, she started the sound bath speaking as though she were a hardscrabble nurse, like, giving you, like, the rundown on some type of medication.
Oh,
but
lovely.
But she was like, all right, so your chakras are going to be aligned. She was, like, talking, like, you know.
Matter of fact.
Yeah, matter of fact about, like, solstice and chakras and sound waves and energy. And it was hilarious because she was, like, it was like watching, like, Cameron Mannheim, you know, talk really, like.
Really triggered, by the way, but go on. I'm, like, fuming.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, no, tell us about Cameron Mannheim. It's fine. I'm right here.
It was just, and then, but the reason that I didn't like her in particular is because the sound bath, she, you know, she took so long, like, building the whole thing up. Then finally, when the sound bath started, it was nice, but then at a certain point, by the end of the sound bath, you know, like, it's been 45 minutes, and then I look up, and I swear to you, her, she was wearing, like all black tights.
Terrified, yeah.
And her,
I'm like, oh, my God.
I, like, woke, I, like, opened my eyes, and her literal, like, butthole was, like, so close to my face because she was bending down and putting a chime on everybody's chest. But going around, first of all, I was like, your butthole is literally
in my face.
Were her
tights ripped or something?
No, but I could, like, see it. It was like...
Oh, sheer tights?
Yes. But also, I'm like, what's happening? And she was putting chimes on every... And I was like, but wait, there's like 50 people in here. You're going to go around and literally place a chime on everybody's chest? Like... You know, I wanted to wrap this up at a certain point. And yeah. This was just like, lady, come on. But there is one woman, and that's the one I would like to take us to. This one woman who is like a beautiful, like ethereal-looking woman. She plays a guitar and has a beautiful voice and sang that Minnie Riperton song.
Loving you.
My Rudolph's mother.
Yes. And, but sang that and then led you into the sound. And it was the most... just chill out experience. That. That's a sound bath we should
Where
do.
Where is it?
It's actually in Culver.
Say no more. We'll go to the Best Buy off the 405 and then we'll go.
I love that Best Buy.
Best Buy and a sound bath.
Best Buy and a sound bath. I have to always work shopping.
One that I did that I hated was in a beautiful place and I noticed that Rachel Hunter, supermodel
Rod
was there.
Stewart's ex.
Yes. Sure. And she was my first childhood crush. Like super, I was just like, she is
good taste because she's to die for. I mean, really is,
and it was
gay
weird.
Men
it was like
love
a,
her yeah
it was just a weird moment because like I was genuinely like into her as a kid.
Wow.
Obviously I'm gay, but I was just like, she's like you can't even believe
she hasn't
you're looking
changed
at.
Right,
she looks this, she's so hot. Mm-hmm. It's insane. But I was like, she must have left early. She had to have left early.
She like chimed her way out. She's like, ling ling ling, goodbye. I saw Rod Stewart once walking with his new wife. And why my family loves Rod is because he's like 5'6".
Oh wow.
And every wife is 6'6". Like, oh, this. Yeah. And we're a tall family.
Sure.
Yes.
But your mom's,
my dad is short. My mom is tall.
Oh, I didn't know
that. And my brother
okay.
is tall. Mm-hmm. My dad is like Samwise. I know.
Oh my God.
It's okay. He's like 5'8". And then we're all
Ganji. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. He's the Ganji. And then I'm, who am I? I'm Sauron. And then my moving along tree beard. So what was I saying? Oh, but yeah, every wife is huge. And so we love little guys who marry like big giant women.
Tina Fey's husband
has a short husband.
Love their fucking dynamic.
Love it.
But you know, someone brought up that we're okay as a society to like remark on a people's height either way, like pointing out how people tall or short.
Oh, I don't think that's true.
It's fair game.
I don't think that's nice.
Who said that?
This is a friend of mine who's short, and she's like, people always
short women can't say shit about that. I'm sorry.
What? Like, well, how do you feel about it?
No.
Are you annoyed when people point out how tall you are, though?
It's so stupid. It's just so. Well, yeah. Like, it's when people are like, my least favorite thing. Do you see the smoke coming out of my ears? I have so much to say that I've gone full the motherboard. It's like Westworld. I need the iPad to come here and like reprogram me right now. My least favorite is when men think they're flirting with me by telling me that I'm taller than I say I am. Where they go, how tall are you? And I'll go, I'm 6'1", because I am. And they'll go, no, you're not. You're like 6'3". But they're like negging me with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's like a weird negging
and
that
I'm just
leads
like,
nowhere.
Oh, you're right.
Ew.
Like, it just makes me want to fucking knock them out. I'm just like, yeah, I know you're right. You know my height better than me.
Gross.
Thank you for even asking.
Also, but, isn't it rude for some, I mean, this is maybe just me, but isn't it like icky to tell, to like, comment on somebody's appearance to
that's what we're saying. It's like
so it's not fair game to me. I would never say to somebody, you're so tall or you're so short. Like
when like girls say it and they're like, oh my God, you're so lucky, I wish I was tall. It's like, oh, sorry. Like, what do you say? And they do mostly mean it in like a nice way. And then men who are insecure will say things, you know, then I feel like it's coming from a place of like, I don't know, it can be just shitty sometimes. I mean, it's annoying. I can't wear heels. If I wear heels and I get in a subway car with teenagers, we're going to have some problems. Like, it's happened. God. It has happened where I'm like, I'm going to get into a fight on the train tonight.
So annoying.
And it's bad. Because, listen, if I put a little, like, a block heel on,
right.
you know, I'm like Kevin Durant. Like, I can't, I'm not like a normal woman. And then what's funny is sometimes I'll see really tall women, like women right. taller than me. Yes. And I'm so not used to seeing women that tall that I'm like, what a freak. And then I'm like,
oh my
that's
God.
Me.
Oh, my God.
Like, what a horrible feeling. But also, it is who I am. And you know what? I just knocked four glasses over. I'm in a great place. We're beautiful.
Oh, my God.
And it's fine. Yeah.
You know, my favorite, I love the comedian Judy Gold.
Ugh, the funniest.
She did my,
she was
my
just
show.
The
oh, yeah. yeah. How was it?
It was great.
She's
so
hysterical.
Funny because she plays the, we did a musical bit where she played the clarinet. And watching her sort of like hunch over to, it was like the
so
funniest
cute.
Thing I've, just watching yeah. her sort of hunch over to play the clarinet was the like the greatest joy of my life.
When I used to play violin as a child, I used to joke, it's a cello, like a high joke. And no one
right.
would ever laugh. And
right.
I quit comedy after that. So what else?
Yeah, she's a
love
her
fun.
So much.
Who else? There was someone else on your show.
Well,
Alana.
It was Alana.
Just Alana.
And my, but
did
my dad.
They sing?
We did a tribute to my grandma who passed away a couple years ago.
Sorry.
But it was like funny. It was like we played a video of her singing. She had just a piercing voice when she sang, just so shrill and piercing. And so
yeah.
there's this video of her singing "Bring Back My Bonnie" to me as a child, and it's very cute and it's very, you know, heartwarming.
Yeah.
But it is so funny to pierce. Like, even my dad was like, "That voice, it just cuts right through you." So we did. We watched the video, and then we did a. My dad plays the piano really well. Mm. So my dad played the piano. Alana played the drums. Judy played the clarinet. And
oh
I
God.
Sang. We did a little cute little tribute.
That's really nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was fun.
Babe. Rule number 86.
We love it.
We love it.
Okay, guys. This is the perfect time to move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
So this is 1 minute where we...
I'm just blanking. Oh, my God. I'm forgetting my...
That's okay. We'll go first, and then you go, and then in the time... I mean, listen to us and react.
Yeah.
I don't have to do mine.
No, do it. Please, right. Michelle.
It's so late.
Do it.
Oh, my God. Okay, we'll do it. It'll be 1 minute each. Mine's not going to be that great. I'm really selling it. So this is where we take 1 minute to rail against something in culture while repeating the phrase, I don't think so, honey.
I have one now.
Okay,
what
great.
If mine was sound baths? As like, oh, you're going to like shower me in your fucking sound.
You basically did one about men who comment on your height.
Well.
Smoking me out of your ears.
Right. Okay, go on.
I mean, you can go any which way
I
with
have
this.
Nothing planned. Go.
You told me you had something planned.
It's like dumb. I'll do it.
All right.
All right. So this is Bowen Yang doing I Don't Think So, Honey.
Amazing.
And his time. Am I good? I'm joking.
Yes.
And
yes.
his time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Gift guides. No, I don't want to buy STEM blocks for my 1-year-old niece who's not even one yet. She's yet unborn. I Don't Think So, Honey. Gift guides for pushing like a foot massager for my dad because he's not gonna like buy these trinkets. He's not gonna use it, and he's gonna say you shouldn't have bought me something.
I literally.
Why
just
did you
a
do
foot
this? I mean, God
Go
bless
on.
You, and I hope whoever receives that enjoys
Sorry.
It. But for my purposes, every gift guide is catered to, I'm gonna say it, and I'm sorry you guys are in the room, it's catered to a white audience. It's catered to some runaway capitalist cog in the machine, and I need to buy all I want is just a good teapot for my dad to steep his teas in, or like a fun, they call them what, nap robes at Brookstone. They sell these amazing bathrobes that everyone loves. Nap robes.
Wow.
You gotta get them.
Are they like robes and a napkin?
And they're basically amazing bathrobes. My mom would love it. And that's my minute. Oh my God.
We cut into you, to be fair.
That's fine. That's fine. But gift guides, they're so stressful because you never agree with them.
I don't understand. I think as a Jew,
here
I'm
we
just,
go. Go on.
I'm just like, do people follow this? Like, there's so much going on about buying stuff. It's like
I don't understand the purpose, the function
right.
of gift guides.
That's what I don't get it.
Yeah.
It's so weirdly curated. I'm like, people are just buying the shit they're gonna buy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it,
mine piggybacks off yours.
Please.
It's also,
I can't
but it's
wait.
About. Okay, wait. I'm gonna burp.
Beautiful.
Definitely leave that in. This red wine is true poison. It's also clear.
Rosenthal,
like
Rosenthal.
Oh my God.
Okay, I've never really done a good one of these. I've only
yes,
done
you
one.
Have. Yes, you have, Mish. Okay, great. This is Michelle Collins' I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey. Package thieves. And why am I saying this? Because I just had a package get thefted. And here's what I don't get. I moved to a building. I'm just going to be up front. No doorman. Don't stalk me. And they leave him in the front. And so someone decided to steal my package from Ann Taylor.
No!
Yes.
Oh my God.
Now, if this was a teacher or a librarian or someone, then God bless you. And I really hope you are curvy, oh my God, and you like it. But I guarantee you, it was a man who came in there and stole these packages. And here's all I have to say: I hope you have a fat cousin with big old feet, because literally everything was plus-sized and big-shoed, and there's no way anyone you know will fit into it. I also just want to add that I called Ann Taylor, and after a week of literal calls, they did refund my money.
They did,
but, yes, which was nice. Good. But also, fuck package thieves.
No.
Like, fuck it. Like, yeah. Steal the old-fashioned way, pickpocket. When I take time to go online and do all this shit, you're just creating problems for me and everyone else. And by the way, we have you on camera, and you will go to jail. So fuck
yes,
you.
And Michelle that's Buteau, 1 minute.
Same thing just happened.
I saw Forever 21.
Yep. Oh, Forever 21?
Yes, I'm not being shitty. That is literally like in the thing she said she got a pack. It's no worse than Ann Taylor, certainly.
No.
I mean, Ann Taylor is like truly bottom of the fucking barrel, but they have a tall section, you guys.
Oh, right. My God. Mine is not like super.
No. It'll be great.
Is yours not about chopping?
But I have to say, that is a crave. You're right. It's so cowardly to steal a package.
It's so easy. I should start doing it. Honestly, like thinking about it, it's like, oh, my God, you can just walk in and take it.
No, don't risk it.
No, I would
you'll
never.
You'll be on camera. You'll be arrested.
I'm very godly.
Law abiding.
I'm so nervous about mine because it's not. I don't know if I can rant.
No,
I've
just
never.
Do
I
it.
Don't care.
Go okay. with it. The momentum will carry you.
Elliot,
I
you are a shining fucking spark plug
Come
of
on,
a life.
Elliot, you've done okay. harder things than this. This is Elliot Glazer's. I don't think so, honey. His time starts now.
Okay, I don't think so, honey. Hashtag, or it's not a hashtag. The idea of positioning your thirst trap on Instagram to make it about quote missing summer.
Thank you.
I miss summer. Bring back hashtag bring back summer. Hashtag where's summer.
Here's my ass cheek.
I can't. It's like, look, everybody has a way, you know, people. I'm talking about gay guys. There is very specifically a desire to, you know, be hypersexual and to be desired on
seconds.
Social media. And it's across the board.
Yeah.
But this, I'm like, how did you find a way? I get it. Fitness, you can do it, right?
Yeah.
But it's December. And if you're posting pictures, literally, you're like, I can see your pubes and you're on the beach and you're just saying you're doing it because you miss summer. How
seconds.
Much do you fucking miss summer? We all miss summer. Or some of us don't. I don't care about summer. But I don't need you to just say that you just do what you're doing.
There you go.
Just do what you're
Five
doing.
Seconds.
You don't need to position it around the fucking seasons.
Ah.
That's right.
And that's 1 minute. That's
can
all
I tell you
can.
This?
Go.
I fucking hate summer.
I
miss summer.
Exactly.
I love a coat.
I love fall and winter.
Fall
yes.
is... my sweet
but
spot.
It is so it just
flattering
drives me
coat.
Nuts
I don't follow I have a couple I follow a couple gay models because they like follow me and I feel obligated
right.
And it is truly the low point of my feed it's my stream I'm just like I don't there's no point of it it's
I know.
Like
but Elliot's talking about this phenomenon of it's not even just the missing summer thing it's like just cloaking some thirst trap under
Please.
Some other the guise of some other thing of just like
I mean, that could I could talk about that for hours, but I'm just talking very specifically about seeing this hashtag, I miss summer, bring summer back.
Yeah,
I'm
Oh,
literally, just say, like, look
here's
at my
asshole.
Ass. Look
it's
at my
your
anus.
Sound bath teacher.
It's a
she's like,
sound
here's
bath
a chime,
teacher.
Hashtag, here's a chime.
Let me put a chime on people and show you my asshole. You're not putting chimes on people, you're showing us your asshole. I like, had a little mini mental breakdown, like, 2 weeks ago after, like... some guy, like, it wasn't the way the guy did this, but, like, the guy, like, went on one date, which I thought was nice. Then I followed up, just very, gave him his space, followed up after a few days, and he very politely, tactfully was like, I think we should be friends, and I was like, great, but then that was just the last little granule of rejection,
of
and
course.
So it just sent me off.
Ugh.
And
is there a friend, someone you knew, or no?
It was a friend, and what was nice about the date was that it was like, we didn't have to go through this song and dance,
right.
Like, what do you do? Like, we knew each other already, it was great, but then, like, I just, something in me broke where I was just like, oh, and writer at New York Magazine, Alex Jung says, and I agree with this, gay culture is white supremacy, and it's not wrong, and I'm sorry, and I'm making this real heavy, but this is just what it is.
I'm sorry.
And I texted, no, it's fine. I texted Joel, I texted Joel Kimbooster, you guys know
I love
him.
Joel.
I was like, this just happened, this sucks, and he was like, I'm going through a similar thing, at the time he was, and I was like, the fact that Joel, like, this... Adonis of a man, so smart, so charming, so funny, so, like, on paper, desirable, we'll say. Like, the fact that Joel is not immune to this, like, makes me think that there's something
wrong. The world is like that.
Here's the thing with gay guys.
Yeah.
Nobody is immune to it. However,
right.
in the vein of what Alex says about white supremacy, a ton of guys will refuse to acknowledge that it is... difficult.
Yes.
That it is hard and that it is challenging. And that because that threatens their masculinity, and which is quite honestly just them being dudes.
Well, there's a self-preservation. They're like, yep. That's too bad that these people have it harder. But
I'm fine.
I'm gonna.
And it's really astonishing, and it drives me and I feel like other gay comedians wild, because we're like, we talk about stuff.
Yeah.
And when you come across people who are like, nope, I'm great, and you're like,
but wait,
what are you a lot? Is there anything in your body?
It's like, okay,
it's crazy.
I'm glad you're great, but like, can you help out here? Yeah, that's all I'm talking about.
Hi, oh my god,
hi, oh my god, Michelle,
Elliot,
thank you so much.
Me,
Elliot,
guys,
thank you so much.
You.
We love you so much.
Thank
I love you, Bella.
Oh my god, I hope everyone has a great holiday. we usually close out with a song that we just
should
sing.
We sing it?
Let's sing it.
Can we do Mariah's "Oh Holy Night"?
Here we go. Let's do it.
You know it, obviously, yeah.
I don't know, like, the runs that she does.
What?
I don't.
Let's do...
How are you in your community?
Holy night.
The
stars. Okay, well, all right. Bye, guys.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.